I want to just share with you, if you are with us for the first time today, man, you are in the middle of a series that we're doing on the book of James. And we have been going through chapter by chapter, just digging into this book. And to give you a little bit of a summary of what this book is about, James is the brother of Jesus. He is the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. And he is writing this letter in a time where the church is kind of scattering. And so there's a lot more home churches going on around, and it is just kind of growing out. But in that process, there's a little contention. There's things going on that James is trying to write and admonish, encourage, and equip all of these growing churches and these places that are kind of starting to spread around. So he's writing this to them, and we can glean this stuff. We can glean this understanding, and it can help equip us, because his whole point in this book is to help the Christians become closer to the Lord, growing in their relationship, and getting real and serious about that relationship with God. So he's challenging people in many ways, you know, like, consider it good to go through trials and suffering. You know, I'm like, what? He's talking about dealing with all sorts of different things, and how you got to be careful with your tongue. And the tongue is just this mess of things. So don't even be a teacher. I mean, all the stuff that he's talking about, it's like it would, you know, all of these different things. And in chapter 3 is where we're finding ourselves today. And if you want to just, if you have your Bibles, you can open to James 3, and we're going to hit verse 13. But before we get into that, I do want to kind of start our conversation today about what the main topic is, wisdom, before we get into the verses that James is talking about. We're going to talk about wisdom today. And how many of us in here have important decisions to make right now? I mean, how many of us have some sort of a decision that we have to really think about with intensity, or we've been questioning? It's like, man, do I take that job or not? Do we have more kids? Do we have kids? Do I ask this person to marry me? Do I start this relationship? Do I need to end a relationship? Do, you know, whatever. How many of these different questions? Do I go to college? Which college do I go to? Do I buy the house? Do I sell my house? All of these are huge decisions. Do I give my life to Jesus? We have major, major decisions in our life. And we need wisdom. We need to seek wisdom. Well, one of the main guys that writes about wisdom in the Bible, his name is Solomon. He was the son of David. He wrote Proverbs. He shares with us so many amazing things just in the broad spectrum of wisdom. And he kind of got this wisdom in a cool and crazy way. So when he became king, he sacrificed 1,000 bulls to the Lord. And as he does this, he goes to sleep that night after the sacrifices, and God comes to him in a dream, and he says to Solomon, hey, whatever you want, it's yours. Just ask for it. Now, he wasn't like our kids when they ask for, you know, when you say to them, if you could have any one wish, what would you wish? And they're like, more wishes. He's not asking that. But Solomon, above everything else, he says this. In Proverbs 6, or in 2 Chronicles 1:10, he says, give me wisdom and knowledge that I may lead this people, for who is able to govern this great people of yours? Give me wisdom, God. I just want to have from you the knowledge and understanding and wisdom to rule. This impresses God so much, he says, not only will I give you the wisdom, but I'll give you everything else. I mean, what a thing to ask. He didn't ask for wealth. He didn't ask for riches. He didn't ask for honor, long life, to kill somebody or to take over this or to rule this or any kind of thing like that. He saw wisdom as the best of the best of the best things to ever ask for. In fact, in Proverbs 16:16, he says, how much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. Gold in this time was the thing that the more gold you had, the more of the king you were, the ruler of things. And so this was the commodity to trade and to hand out and all of this stuff. It represented prestige and power. Gold was something that was highly, highly sought after. And Solomon is saying that wisdom is better than the most sought after thing anywhere. Wisdom is the biggest thing. Now, I don't know if you've ever asked for wisdom or sought wisdom, but I would encourage you to seek it, to ask about it, to desire to know, to desire to have wisdom in your life. I'm continually asking for wisdom from the Lord. I'm going, man, God, would you just help me with this decision? God, how am I going to handle this? God, would you show me a way to deal with these things? God is willing and able and desiring to give you wisdom in your relationships, your financial stewardship. God wants to give you wisdom in that. God wants to help you, give you wisdom on being a good parent. Hello? A good boss? A good neighbor? God wants to give you the wisdom. He wants to give you this help in these ways. And in Proverbs 4:7, again, Solomon says, wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs you all you have, get understanding. I want to share with you in context with what's going on, because wisdom is so important that we need to seek it with everything that we have. But I have to say, and James points this out in his in chapter 3 here, he points out there's more than one kind of wisdom. There's a heavenly wisdom, and then there's an earthly wisdom. There's a godly wisdom that comes from the Lord, and then there's something that doesn't quite come from God. And I want to read this to you this morning, and I want to read it out of the Passion Translation, and it says this. James writes, if you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life guided by wisdom's gentleness. Now, in this, understand that this chapter, he's talking at the beginning of it, you know, about better to not be a leader or to be a teacher. There should be fewer teachers, that kind of a thing. And he goes into this saying, if you consider yourself to be wise and one who understands the ways of God, in this, what he's talking about is if you do consider yourself to be a life group leader, if you do consider yourself to be a pastor, a home church leader, if you do consider yourself to be one of these kinds of people, advertise it with a beautiful, fruitful life guided by wisdom's gentleness. Never brag or boast about what you've done, and you'll prove that you're truly wise. Don't go walking around parading yourself like you're all that. You know? Keep it on the down low. Show it by your actions, by seeing this fruit come out, this gentleness that comes from wisdom. But going on, it says, but if there is bitter jealousy or competition hiding in your heart, then don't deny it and try to compensate for it by boasting and being phony, for that has nothing to do with God's heavenly wisdom, but can best be described as the wisdom of this world, both selfish and devilish. Now, other translations even go so far as to say that this kind of earthly wisdom is demonic. This does not come from the Lord. So wherever jealousy and selfishness are uncovered, you will also find many troubles and every kind of meanness. There is an earthly wisdom that leads to destruction. There is an earthly wisdom that James is talking about here that says, man, if you start getting into competition, if you start looking out for number one, if you start trying